Okay, so we are on Mem Dachmema Mabez, and we are starting three lines down the wide lines, which is Gufa. Okay, everyone have the spot? Gufa, Amarav. The Rav says, Kol Bracha She'ein Ba Haskaras Hashem. Any bracha you make which does not have Hashem's name in it, ain't a bracha. That's not officially a bracha. It doesn't count. It's not officially a bracha if it doesn't have the Shem Hashem. Rabbi Yochan Amar, Kol Bracha She'ein Ba Malchus. If a bracha doesn't have the Shem Hashem and also have Malchus, Melech Ha'olam, okay, not just Melech, but because it's no good to be a king if you're a king of yourself, so it's got to be the Melech Ha'olam, specifically, they say. So it's also not a bracha. Amar Abaye, Kvaseh D'Rav Nisabra. It makes more, Rav's opinion that you at least have to have Shem Hashem, at minimum, makes more sense because we have the following brisa which supports Rav, the Tanya. The brisa says, La'avart mitosecha vol shachachti. In the Vidui Meiser, when the person goes ahead and he comes to the Smigdash and he says, I've done everything I need to do. He says, Lo avart mitzvosecha v'lo shachachti. I did not transgress any of your mitzvot, and I did not forget anything. What is he referring to? So we explain what that means is, Lo avart mi levarechecha. I did not make a bracha. I mean, I always made sure to make a bracha. And when I made a bracha, Lo shachachti mi lahazkir shimcha alav. I always remembered to say your name in the bracha. That sounds like exactly like the opinion of Rav. Okay. The Ilu Malchus Lokatani, but it does not say that I did not forget to say Melech Ha'olam. So that is a bias proof for Rav. So what is Rav Yochan going to say? Rav Yochan's easy answer. Rav Yochan says, Tani, take out a pencil, take out a little eraser, add a few extra words. Lo Shachachti, when I made Bruch, I did not forget Mila Haskir Shimcha U Malchus Ha'olam. You have to add an extra word. Shimcha u malchuscha. Both. That he's not forgetting Hashem's name and his malchus. Now, I'm going to not get into the details of this Gemara because Rav Sugarman is going to spend the Ian Chabura talking all about these lines of the Gemara. So there is a lot what to say about this segment. When you say, what is the bracha? Does that have Shem Hashem? What if you don't say Melech Ha'olam? There's lots of brachos. In fact, that's right. You don't say, right? There's a lot of missing Melech Ha'olam in there. So again, Rav Sugarman's going to talk about that. I'm going to leave him space. I'm not going to get into the details, but I do have a few things later on to talk about because there's actually. I saw a part. It's one of those awkward things where when you see a rainbow, you're like, oh my gosh, look! But you're not supposed to. Yeah. Okay. Parenthetically, you're not supposed to. Okay, let's go on.
The expression is I'm not going to get this amendment. Has this thing to do with?
It's unusual, yeah. It what does that do with a vera? Yeah.
It means that I've taken my master.
Taken all the master. Yeah. Yeah, it's a drasha. It's a drasha. It's not the simple interpretation. The simple interpretation of the pasuk definitely is what you're referring to, that I did not eat any of the food before I took off all the proper trumot and masarot. Lo shachachti, I didn't forget. In other words, that's the simple explanation. This is a drasha. This is another level of interpretation.
Dvar tam.
Mitzikut. Okay, let's continue in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Va'al davar she'ein gidula min ha'aretz amar shehako min dvaro." We've been like discussing this almost enough. We have all the other brachos. We have never heard about shehako. Now we finally have a source for shehako. What did we say shehako on? Something which doesn't grow from the ground. Al hachomet and on what's chomet? The vinegar. The al hanivalos. Nivalos are going to be some kind. The Gemara is going to discuss what that is. Novlos are a type of date, which we'll discuss what exactly they are. Okay. The al haguvai. Haguvai is some kind of a locust. Okay. So if you eat a kosher species of locust, so if you eat those, omer shahakol nia bizvaro. Those also get the bracha of shahakol. Okay. They're not the usual things to eat. Of Yehuda Omer, Kol Shehu Min Klala Ein Mivarchna Lav. Yehuda says that these things that we just referred to, you do not make a bracha at all on them because they are a Min Klala. There's a source of something. Yeah, your wine, it's spoiled. That wasn't supposed to happen. You had a nice bottle you're waiting for, vintage 2011, some kind of Ma'ara, and you open it up, spoiled. That's a klala. You have some, again, we'll have to get into what this type of date is. We'll see whether it's relevant to Rav Yehuda. And then finally, the locust. Now, the locust itself is not the klala, but you have to think about when they had locusts coming. They weren't talking about the random locust that was flying by. Oh, you grabbed it and you ate it. I vividly remember if you grew up in the Maryland, maybe it happens in New York, some parts of New York also, I think it's certain parts of Staten Island, there's cicadas. There's these I still have it in my ear. There was one year, Sukkot time, or I think it was Sukkot time, we went to Baltimore. It happens every 22 years, 17 years, something like that, where these things come out. They're everywhere. There's millions of them. To the point that I remember that the newspapers at that time, the Baltimore Sun, was publishing recipes for which you can eat your cicadas. Because there's that. So when they're talking about when do you eat locusts? When there's a plague, when there is millions of them descending upon your area.
Okay.
No one here is eating locusts. No. No one here is eating it. Oh, okay. Ah. You can't even have the tradition. Okay, you're right. You're the only one. What bracha do you make?
I don't remember. 55.
Okay. Wow.
In Israel. Yep.
Okay, so there you go.
There was locusts all over, and I remember.
Okay. So Rav Yehuda says the reason why you don't make a bracha is when they come in sufficient quantity that you're going to be able to eat them, it's because it's a plague. That's why you don't make a bracha, Rav Yehuda. Okay. Let's say you have in front of yourself, you have many different types of fruit. Rav Yehuda Omer, Inish B'nei Min Shiva, if you have one of the seven fruits, special species that grow in Eretz Yisrael, one of the seven special things that grow that are unique, that Eretz Yisrael is blessed with, if that's one of the things in front of you, alavu mevarach, you should make the bracha on it and be motzi the other things you're eating. So if you're having an apple with a rimon, make the bracha on the rimon and be poter the apple. Chamomrim mevarach al izimem shirta. Make the bracha on anyone you want. We'll see later in the Gemara what this refers to is the one which is more chaviv, the one which is more beloved to you. If you are an apple eater, if you're just like, I eat apples all year long, and now you have an apple with a rimon, make the bracha on the apple.
They don't talk only about fruit.
Minim harbe, correct.
Could be hita, could be bread, could be apple, could be...
So apple. If you have... So, we're assuming, and we'll get into it later, we're assuming it's brichatan shaveh. They're all the same brachos. Meaning you have minim harbe mi'oto bracha, from the same bracha. Okay? And because otherwise you would make a bracha on one and have to make a bracha on the other. Each one has its own unique bracha. Unless they all share the same bracha, in which case you have to choose one to make the bracha for all of them. So if they're all of the same type of bracha, then you'll make one bracha mm-hmm. for all of them. Which should you choose? The Rabbi Yehuda says you should choose the pri ha'aretz, and the Chacham say you should choose the one which you desire more. Okay, mm-hmm. We'll get into that debate soon. Okay, very soon. Now, for a second, let's see if I have. I think it isn't discussed in the Gemara. Yeah, chometz. We said in the Mishnah that the bracha on chometz is shahakol. I have a question. Rabbi Yehuda then says it's a klala. Forget klala. We learned before that when something damages, we had the discussion about the oil. We had a whole discussion that no one drinks olive oil. It's not healthy for your body. It's not doesn't do anything for you. When you drink vinegar, that's disgusting. No one drinks vinegar. It doesn't nourish you. So therefore, why should there be any bracha on vinegar? It's not my question. This is the Rush's question. Rabbi Asher, the Rush, asks, why is there a bracha at all on vinegar? It's not even a tom. It's a good question. I hear where you're going. And so the Rush actually, his question is even stronger because the Rush's question is actually, I don't know if I'll find it, but the Rush's question is actually based on the Gemara in Yuma, related to Yom Kippur. The Gemara in Yuma says that if a person drinks chometz on Yom Kippur, he's putter. It's not mutter, it's not allowed, but he did not violate any prohibition of eating or drinking on Yom Kippur. Because chometz is not meshivas hanefesh. It does not provide any benefit to you. It does not provide any sustenance or satiation or anything to you whatsoever. For other purposes. So the Rush is going to go with that. But the question is, great, great answer. The Rush's question, though, starts with saying, we already know, We learned this by the dried out peppers. Remember the dried out, the peppers, when they're dry, we said, you don't make a bracha on them if you eat them directly. The ones are moist. Those you eat, those are tasty. The ones are dried out, that you normally grind as a spice, if you eat them straight, it doesn't do anything for you. It's horrible. You would make no bracha, and the Gemara, we didn't bracha. Connected to the fact that you would not be high on Yom Kippur for eating it. So that which you don't, that which you could so speak, drink or eat on Yom Kippur is also that which you do not make a bracha.
That's the
connection.
Last week, I'm trying to get it out of here.
Oh, we got a little feedback there. So the...
it's only on day 19, but I can't work on anything else.
Rush and give two answers. The Rush says, number one, the first answer is, maybe we're talking about a situation where you diluted the vinegar. You're really drinking mostly water. With a little bit of dilute...
I don't want to work over the weekend, but I might have
to.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Can we lower the... Can we mute on your side? Richie? Okay. Anyhow, so the rush says, number one, you can dilute the vinegar. That's one option. And that's what we're talking about, where it's dilute. It's just adding a little... That's where you're really drinking the water or whatever else, and it's not really straight vinegar. That would be a bracha. So that's mostly really water.
Richard.
You're just
no, I'm saying, but then it's on chometz, it's on the water.
Correct. But it happens to be water flavored chometz. You're right. The second answer is that you drink the chometz because you're a tooth, for medicinal purposes.
Yes.
But if it's for medicinal purposes, you don't make bracha for medicinal purposes alone. Ah, he says, but you can't drink chometz straight. You know what you did? You mixed it into, he says, marak, some kind of soup. And so therefore you have to make a bracha. What's ikar? What's the ikar? The chometz or the soup? Chometz. I'm not drinking the soup. I'm interested in my tooth. But I can't drink the chometz straight. It's too strong. So I mix a little bit of soup in to tone down the sharpness, the acidity of the chometz. So now I have to make a bracha, but I'm being mehenet. Meaning if you have medicine and you get no hana from it, don't make a bracha in the medicine. But if you're having a medicine which also provides you, let's say you have to have fish oil, but the fish oil you have is with some fish. It's not straight in the capsule. And it nourishes you. You enjoy it. You're having some physical enjoyment from it, even though you're really just having it for medicine. In that case, you have to make a bracha. We had that exact story in the Gemara earlier. When it talks about the oil, it said that when you can make a bracha on the oil, you make a bracha on oil because you want it for your also lamed vav, right? Okay, get where it is now. Right in the beginning here. Choshesh begrono, because you need it for your throat. So the Gemara says, well, why are you making a bracha on it? It's the refuah. The Gemara says, no, because you mixed it together with the anigron, which made it more palatable, the oil. And then you did it for refuah, to sort of soothe your throat. But because you get hana from the anigron, but the shemen is ikar, you make a bracha on the shemen, even though normally by itself you would not. So same thing here, you're making a bracha on the chometz because it is the ikar used for your tooth, even though you're mixing it with some soup or some other substance to dull its sharpness. Oh, right, I understand. But the rush applies to here.
Oh. It was basically saying, normally what they would do is they would push it around the mouth and they would spit it out.
Right.
After a fool, you can't do it on
sharpness. Right. Here referring to swallowing.
So they said the way to get around it was,
you
push your
A, you
swallow.
Correct.
So
here you would swallow. I thought I mentioned with it, so there, I don't know if it talks about there, Mishnah with a Negro or something else, but the point is over here, the Mishnah when it talks about drinking chometz and making a bracha, it is referring to a situation where you either have to dilute it down, you're really making a bracha on the water or something else, or it's the chometz used for medicine, so it's the ikar, but it's mixed with another food which gives you sustenance, so you make a bracha on the ikar, and it's potra as a tafel. And the ikar here is the chometz, which would normally get bracha of shahakol. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara. So Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara says, Al davar she'en gidula min aretz, that which doesn't grow from the ground. Now we have all these examples. The mission didn't give us any good examples, like common cases. Gom basar, meat. Basar behemos. Chayos v'ofos. Meat of large livestock. Chayos, like a deer. Ofos. Or birds, the dagim or fish, and all those cases, Omer, shehakol nihya bidvaro. Val chalav, val beitzim, val gvina. So these are derivatives from animals, the milk, or the cheese, or eggs. So there also you make Omer shehakol, same bracha. If you have bread which became moldy, so it's no longer the normal way to eat that bread. Or we're talking about wine which is spoiled, not yet vinegar, but spoiled. Again, not the normal way of eating it. Or you have a dish which normally would have perhaps a Brei Pri Adama or other brach on it, but it's avir tzurasa. It's been like left out. It's starting to spoil. So again, shelo kederach. It's not nifsal me'achil. It's not completely inedible, but it's already lost its normal shape, flavor, size. The Gemara talks about avir tzurasa when it comes to a korban left overnight. Uber tzura. After it's over, you leave the korban overnight. Avir tzurasa. Now you burn it. But the idea here is avir tzurasa. They didn't have refrigeration. Once things were left out for a number of hours or overnight, and it already was no longer in the same quality, and you normally would not eat it that way. And if you eat it, though, nonetheless, the bracha shackle. Yes, if it's shackle, it's shackle. Yeah. We assume it's if it's shackle, it stays shackle, but otherwise it gets downgraded. Meaning, when you have something which normally would have this bracha, but you eat it shelo kiderech, and because here it's the wine which is already starting to spoil, or it's the bread which is moldy, or it's the dish which is already starting to go, it drops down the level of shahakol. Okay. Val melach val hazamis, or on salt or on salt water, val hakamihim upitrios, or on truffles or on mushrooms. On all those things, omer shahakol. You also make the bracha of shahakol. The Gemara says, wait a second, lememra, are you trying to tell us that kamehin upitrios, that these truffles and mushrooms, lav gduli karkininu, they're not growing from the ground? Why don't you make a borei pri ha'adama on a mushroom? It grows from the ground. Are you trying to tell us that they're not considered to be growing from the ground? We have, and the Gemara brings a proof that they grow from the ground. It's a proof based on the Darim. When it comes to the Darim, whatever language of the Nether you use, based on the language, is what's going to prohibit, that's what's going to define the prohibition that you put upon yourself. The Brisa says like this, Hadat Tanya, Hano de Biperos Aretz, also Biperos Aretz. If a person says straight, I cannot eat fruit of the land, so then he cannot eat fruit of the land, but he can eat Kimian and Petrios. They're not fruit of the land. Certainly, they're not fruit of the land. The imamar ko gedule karka. If a person says, declares a vow, I will not eat anything that grows from the ground, not fruit of the ground, but grows from the ground. So that's what he says. Ko gedule karka alai asur af bekimihin upitriot. He cannot even eat these truffles or these mushrooms. So ostensibly, because they are considered to be gedule karka. If they are gedule karka, it means they are that which emanates from the ground. So if that's the case, then it should also be appropriate to make a bracha of borei pri ha'adama on them. So you can see as a proof from the context of the oath, the vow that you made, that these things should be considered to be that which emanates from the ground. So Amar Abaye, no. Mirva ravu mi'ara. Yes, they do come, they come from the ground, but minka lo yanke mi'ara, but they do not draw their sustenance from the ground. Instead, Rashi explains their sustenance comes from the air, meaning they might grow on Rashi is like a piece of wood. They might grow on your wheelbarrow that's insane, or on your house. Those hedge clippers or like the your shovel they've been seeing in the backyard that you never touched, and like a mushroom's growing out of it. They don't need it. Instead, they absorb through the air. They absorb through the air. They absorb the moisture, but not directly. Meaning, they don't really suck from up. It's not like there's anything inside the utensil or the house or whatever that they're drawing from. They're drawing something from the air around them, and that's enough for these things to grow. So they might come up sometimes from the ground, so they're not drawing their sustenance from the ground. So therefore, what you see from here, in order for something to be considered to be a borei pri ha'adama, you need two components. You need it to be that which grows from the ground, emanates from the ground, and that which also draws its sustenance from the ground. Okay? That's to be clear. The Gemara says, V'ha al davar she'en gedulam en aretz ketani. Wait a second. The first, forget the second, this price about the vows. Just go back to where it says Gemara, the very beginning. Very, very beginning of the Gemara we just started. It says Tanur Rabban. Let's go back up where it says Gemara. A few lines up. It says Tanur Rabban. Al davar she'en gedulam en aretz. And then we talked to all those things which are Ein Gedulam and Aretz. And we said, what are those things? Including on them is that which is a truffle and a mushroom. Those are also included. V'ha'al davar she'en Gedulam and Aretz Ketani. So the first price to list mushrooms among those things which are not gedolim min haaretz. So how can Abaye say that they emanate? The Gemara says, no, tell me, so you should change it. Yeah, I think it's essentially meaning the same idea. So what it's explaining is, Tani al davar she'ein yoinik min haaretz. Really, what it meant is, these are all things which do not draw their sustenance from the ground. So for example, some of the things that don't draw their sustenance from the ground, some things don't grow from the ground. So for example, you might have animals or certain livestock which draw their sustenance from the ground, but they do not grow from the ground. They're not emanating from the ground. And other things like these in theory you could say Bray Pri Hadama on a ha'eitz and be yotzei. That's the previous mishnah. Yeah, that would count. Meaning you could be yotzei on an apple by saying Bray Pri Hadama, but you could not be yotzei on these citrus or on these mushrooms or on animals because they don't draw their sustenance from the ground. Okay, so it's not a davar sheyonik min haaretz. There's a very practical, important thing that comes out of this Gemara. Can you think of something in modern technology which you have something growing, not from the ground? Hydroponics. Now, this is not something which is now, I think there was, is it one of the, if you guys may remember, was one of the seven wonders of the world, like this whole special garden that was up in the, I remember it was in the Middle East somewhere. It was not a hydroponic garden. Something was growing off the side of a. I forget. Maybe not. Hydroponics, which is very common nowadays, hothouses and the like, in order to grow vegetables, are a very common form of gardening, of growing vegetation. And therefore, what's the proper bracha on something which grows hydroponically? Is that borei pri ha'adama, or should that be shehakol ni'abivaro? It's not drawing its sustenance from the earth. So, we'll get to that in a second.
It can only grow on water.
It's
not in the land, in the soil. This thing can grow in soil and also.
But practically, we're talking about a situation where you set up a whole garden. They do it for Shemitah situations. In Shemitah, they even do it in the way you're describing of Atzei Shein Lakav, but that's something else. Imagine you simply have something, there's no soil at all. Atzei Shein, we have a pot which has soil in it and it's got no hole. There's soil at least. Right. Here we're talking about, let's say there's no soil. No soil at all. There's no soil in the entire hothouse. Everything's growing from water, which you add minerals, nutrients into the water. What's the proper bracha? So there's the Chai Adam, which you're making reference to, and the Chai Adam, I'm going to try and push. We'll try and talk. I feel it's interesting. But there's a Chai Adam, which says something fascinating. It quotes based on the Yerushalmi, which I'm sure you're familiar with. The Yerushalmi says, and the Chai Adam is explaining the following. He says, let's say you have Mechameshes Minei Dagon. Yes, it's a tremendous chiddush. It's a tremendous novelty. It says, if you have something which is the five grains, wheat or barley, which is growing in a pot which has no hole at the bottom. Halachically, in halacha, if you have a pot which has soil but has no hole, it is considered to be completely detached and of no connection to the ground. So therefore he says, if you grow wheat in a pot, harvest the wheat, grind it, make flour, turn it into bread, he says the bracha will not be Eino mevarech alav hamotzi lechem min haaretz, because you could not say that this bread came from the aretz. Instead, what will be the bracha? It's still mine mizonot, but it's not min ha'aret. He says also you would not make a bray pri ha'adama on it because it's not min ha'adama. It's min ha'pat. It's from a plant.
The natural way of growing.
It's not. So the Chai Adam suggests that the bracha will be mizonos, and afterwards you'll make a hamotzi. You'll have to bench afterwards. You'll make a brim in the mezonos, and afterwards you'll have to make a benching. Birchas ha'mazon. So the same, many people use this Chai Adam, this proof about a atzit she'eino nakov, a plant, a potted plant, or a potted vegetation, which has no hole, to say the same should be true by hydroponics. And therefore, the bracha cannot be borei pari ha'adamah, it has to be shahako mi'ad dvaro. the Sheva the Levi, Rishmul Vazner, he says, I think what you were saying, right? So Rami, you were saying that, wait a second, I understand this cucumber grew hydroponically, but generally cucumbers, that species rose in the ground. He says that is how you follow. We're not following the particular vegetable in front of you. You follow the species. Bore mine mizonos, bore puri hazama. This is the fruit of the ground, as opposed to mushrooms, which are not a species that draws its sustenance from the ground. It's regarding the species, not the particular fruit in front of you. That's the Sheva Levi. Happens to be, this is a big machlokas among the later day contemporary poskim. If you look on the Star K's website, Rav Heinemann paskins like the Chayyadim and says that you know that this vegetable grew hydroponically, the bracha is shahakol. They only point out that if you don't know, if you just don't know, then you should make the Borei Pri HaAdama. But you should know, happens to be a huge percentage of cucumbers that are available today are grown hydroponically. They're grown in hothouses. So the 100%, yeah, vertical farms, yeah. But the point is that for certain vegetables, it's common. But if you don't know, but also common. I don't know if the Gush Katif stuff, not the Gush Katif stuff, is not. That's grown, that's, I think, connected to the ground. Yeah, shahakol. But, okay, once again, the key is from our Gemara, we learned that there's two requirements to make a Borei Pri HaAdama: emanating from the ground, drawing sustenance from the ground. And we said that one important difference is going to be our mushrooms and a question about hydroponics, based on whether it technically does not draw sustenance from the ground or whether it's the species which is normally coming from the ground. Okay, I thought that was an interesting practical discussion from our Gemara tonight. Okay. I mean, could you get, does etrog have to be a high? I don't see why not. Why would you? I don't know. I leave it for a chabura. Okay, Steven. We're waiting for the next Ian's chair. Yeah, there's time. There's some time for slickers. I don't know why not. But again, I can see that this has some other implications, right? Where something is not technically min ha'aretz. Okay, let's go. Val Novlos. My Novlos. We're Novlos. So we said there's some kind of date. So Rebzeir Verbilai. Chadam Rebishulei Kamra. One opinion says that they are scorched. These are like burnt by the sun. They're sun kissed. They're sunburnt dates, not sun-kissed, they're sunburnt. V'chad Omar Tamri Dezika, the other person says they are dates which are wind-blasted. What do you mean wind-blasted? Basically, imagine a hurricane came and blew all the dates into the wind. Stephen and Dan were giving shir tonight. I just simply was saying, yes, you're right. These two guys were mamish giving shir. Tanan, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Kol Shehu Min Klala Ein Mevarchalav. You'll make a bracha on these things which are a source of klala. So Gemara says, "Bish lo malamand from bishulei kamra." If it is sunburnt date, so hayni zikari lemin klala. That's the klala. If the sun is burning your dates, the sun is doing horrible things to your crops. That's a problem. El lamand darma tamri dezika, maimin klalahu. If it's simply the wind that blew the date down onto the floor, why is that a curse? There's nothing wrong with the date. Nothing happened to the date. It didn't get to maybe develop all the way. It didn't get to fully grow. But it's not nothing directly happened to the date. The Gemara says, okay, Ashara. No. Rabbi Yehuda is referring to the other cases, meaning he's referring to the wine that's boiled into vinegar, and we're talking about the last case, not the date, the locust. Very good. So Ikadamri Bishlam Manda Amar Bishule Kamra Hainu Dimivarchna Lav Shahakol. If we're talking about that which is bishula kamer, sunburnt dates. So that's why I make a shahakol on it. El leman damer tamer dezika, shahakol. Why making a shahakol on a date that simply was blown to the ground by wind? Brei preitz mebayilei levruche. You should make a brei preitz. What's wrong with the date? All it did was get blown to the ground by the wind. Might be underdeveloped, but the date, nothing is actually wrong with the date itself. Ella benova stama, Ella benova. the Bishul Kamininu. You know, saying everyone agrees really novlos, just plain. If you ask me, define what is the word novlos. Everyone agrees that's sunburnt date. Ki pligi ben novlos tamra. What they're actually arguing about is what is the definition of when I call something novlos tamra. What is that? Because we have that in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, okay, when it comes to demai, what is demai? So demai is something which we don't know its status in terms of trimos amasros. So you have to take trimos amasros from all of your fruits and your vegetables. And it happens to be that there were sometimes people who were not very careful to take off all the trimos amasros. Usually they did. But once in a while, the monetary considerations got to them, and they did not separate trumas and maestros. Now, they knew to separate truma, because for that, you're chayav misa b'dei shamayim. They were very careful about that one. But the maestros and the other things you have to take off, they weren't so careful with. They weren't very careful with those things. Maestros sheni, maestros, they weren't so careful with those maestros. But truma, they were careful with. So we have demai, though. So the Gemara says, hakalim should demai. There's some cases where we could be lenient. We assume that they were, even those amei ha'aretz, even those people who were not careful normally with trumas and maestros, these are not expensive items. They would be happy, very happy to give all the trumas and maestros. They did not withhold truma and maestro from these things. Where are those? Those are hashitim v'harimin, v'ha'uzradin, v'nosuach, v'noshikma, gufnin, nitze, novlos tamra. Those are the things. Now the Gemara is going to go through each of these to define them. Shitim, where are those? Amar Rav Rechana, Rav Yochan, min te'enim. They're a type of fig. Rimin are kandi. Candy are lotus. I don't know what that is, but it's a
lotus flower.
Okay.
Now, like the lotus yoga, the lotus
tradition. Now you quote two things I know nothing about. Okay, good. That's like when the Gemara says, like, what's this? And it says, gives an answer and says, well, what's that? So, okay. I don't know lotus. I don't know lotus position either. Okay. Ha'uzradin. Oh, sorry? Yeah. Okay. So again, something similar to that. Okay. So uzrad, where are the uzradin? So that was our tolshe. Tolshe are sorb apples. Okay. Benosuach amar Rav Chana Rav Yochanan. Those are te'ene chivra, so they're white figs. Benos shikma amar Rav Chana Rav Yochanan. Dublay, where are they? Those are sycamore figs. Okay, you see, Rav Yochanan was holding. You think about it, like I barely know what any of these things are. Rav Yochanan, if you were a Tana, if you were an Amora, you not only knew Gemara, you knew all your figs. You knew all. They knew the world. They knew what was going on. They knew agriculture. They had to know all this stuff because they had to know the halacha. Gufnin, where is that? That's Shili Gufne. Those are late season grapes. Okay, like the late harvest wines you get. Those are from the late harvest grapes. Those are very sweet, high alcohol content, very sweet. Okay. I like the light late harvest stuff. Good. I'm a fan. Okay. Nitze parcha. Nitze. That's parcha. We said that's the caperberry. Remember, don't get nervous again. The capers come back. So the nitze, remember, were the caperberries. Novlos tamra. Where novlos tamra? So be live or zera. Here's where the debate is coming from. What is novlos tamra? So chad amar bishule kamra. One says it refers to the sunburnt dates. The chamer tamre dezika. There are the wind blasted dates. The wind blew off the dates off the tree. So bishlam mandar bishule kamra hay nizika tani hakilim shibedemai. The one that says that they are the wind blown off the tree dates. The one that are the sunburnt dates. Hay nizika tani hakilim shibedemai. That's why people don't care about them because they are low inferior quality. They've been burnt, sunburnt dates. Bekan hu depatre. Therefore, only if we're not sure about it, they are patur. Havadain, chayav. That implies that they, if you for sure know that there was no truma and masters, you would be definitely chayav to take truma and master from them. El leman da amri tamri dezika, vadain chayav. If the wind blew the dates off the tree down the block, why have to take truma and masters from them? Hefkera ninhu. These are hefker. No one goes to collect his dates that were blown halfway down the block. They're ownerless. Ownerless items have required no trumas maestros. Gemara says, "Achmaeskinan she'asan goren." You know what we're talking about? We're a poor guy. Look, Nebuch, he doesn't have a lot of money. He collects all the dates he can, wherever he can, down the block. He's walking up and down the block, collecting all the wind-blown dates. Makes a huge, nice pile of them. Granted, he did collect them all from Hefker, so they are technically not high in trumas maestros there. But if you were to then walk past his house and see this ani with a nice, large pile of dates smoothed off nicely, and you see him eating them without taking Trumas and Maestros, you're going to think, hey, he doesn't take Trumas and Maestros properly. You don't realize that they came from off the street and that they were Hefker. So if it looks like it should be Chayav and Truma and Maaser, you have to, Sha'asan Goren, that you made it like a whole nice pile, then you have to, Midze Rabbanan, take Truma and Maaser. Dam Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Ya'aliz and Yaakov, Halokeh, sorry, Haleket, Ashicha, Vapea. Any poor person who was taking Leket, the stuff, the sheaves that were falling to the ground, and the Shicha, those sheaves that were the stalks of grain that were left aside as they were harvesting, or Pea, the corn of the field, Sha'asan Goren, he collected enough of them and made a huge pile of them. Hukvu lamaster, they're chayav their master. Ika damri, others say, so bishloma lamanza amar tamri dezika hainu. So, according to the one who says that we are talking about tamri dezika, the wind blown date, tahainu the hacha kari lay novlos. I understand why I called it here in our Mishnah just plain novlos. The hasan kari lay tamra, and over there I know why they call them the novlos tamra, because they're different cases. In our Mishnah, we're talking about the sunburnt ones, and now here we're talking about the windblown ones, different cases. Therefore, different words. El leman damra bishule tamra nisne. However, if we're referring to, in our Mishnah, we're talking about the sunburnt dates, sun-kissed dates. And we're also in this Mishnah about the demai, the second Mishnah, also talking about the sunburnt dates, meaning both cases, it's the same type of te'ina, the sunburnt dates. So why are we using different words? We should both call them EDVED, Novlos Tamra. They should both be called Novlos Tamra, meaning Tamra Novlos. Okay. Oh, EDVED, Novlos Tamra. Or they should both be called regular Novlos, without the Tamra. Meaning, use the same term, the same word for both cases. Kasha, that is in fact the question. The Gemara leaves unresolved, meaning linguistically, it's all odd that the Mishnayos use different words to describe them the same exact species. Okay, I had planned to go on, but I think we should stop here, right? 9:20 is somewhere. We'll stop for Jones.